verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whether shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Amen. May God bless readers, hearers, and doers of his holy word. Amen. Amen. I'm going to use my little different, but I want to share with you, we shouldn't be wary. Amen. Worrying is something that all of us struggle with. They say, I've heard this before, they said worrying is like being in a rocking chair. It keeps you busy, but it gets you nowhere. Amen. We worry, we're anxious about many things. The state of our economy or the foreign affairs as a country. We worry about the kids, the grandkids, and whether or not they're going to, you know, make the right decisions in life, you know. And we worry about whether or not they're going to survive before they even make it into school. So we worry about the way that we look, what people think about us, and maybe even this morning we all are worried about this coronavirus. Amen? So Jesus has something that is straightforward to us and profound to say to us this morning. Paul teaches that worry isn't worth the effort. Worry requires a lot of effort. I once heard a person say that a day of worry is more exhausting than a day of work. That is true. And someone else has said that worry is wasting today's time, cluttering up tomorrow's opportunity with yesterday's trouble. That was some deep stuff. Most things you worry about never live up to its expectation anyway. Amen? There's many surveys out there talks about, you know, this percentage of people worry about this is going to happen, and this percentage of people worry about what this is going to happen, and then this percentage worries about the affairs that this of their business and what's going to happen, and then this percentage worries about the sickness, and then it talks about when you're said and done, it wasn't worth the energy at all. So Paul says, put your energy where it can do some good. Pray passionately about whatever it concerns you. Amen? That's what we need to do. The things that worry you will probably not worry me. The things that worry me probably won't worry you. Amen? Prayer is an acknowledgement of faith. Worrying is a denial of faith. Prayer is putting my hand in God's hand, trusting His guidance. Worry is withdrawing my hand and denying the power of God altogether. So, have you ever noticed no bird has ever built two nests? Have y'all ever noticed that? Y'all ever noticed? I mean, a bird, yeah, they'll build a nest, but they ain't worrying about building another one. They focus on building this one nest. I know, because there's a couple of times that I had to tell them, you ain't building it right here. I mean, I had to go out there and say, hey, not right here. You got all this out there. Come over here messing up my stuff. Pooping on everything, ain't no clean up behind yourself. No, you go out there and do that. So you never see a fox saying that, man, I need another hole to go in. You don't see a fox worrying about that. Nor do you see a squirrel ever died of anxiety. You know, when I lived in Fairview Heights, man, I had this walnut tree, and these squirrels got on my nerves. They would come, and they would get the walnuts, man. They would crack it over right there on my porch. And they would eat their breakfast. And I come out, and I'm like, and didn't even clean up behind themselves. No disrespect. At least it's my walnut. They could at least offer me some. But my point is, they just messed it all up. Then I swept it up, cleaned it up, and then they came back again. Messed it up again. But I never saw a squirrel worrying about what he's going to eat. Amen? I never seen a squirrel worrying about what he's going to eat. So in Matthew chapter 6 and 25, Jesus is straightforward with us. And it's one of those things because God said so. Amen? When we hear the words, when I say because God said so, it reminds me of my childhood when you ask your parents, why? Because I said so. They don't give you any explanation. They just say, because I said so. How about you just do it? Because I said so. They don't go into no, well, this is why you need, no, do it because I said so. So we tend to have flashbacks of these things, you know, brush your teeth because I said so, you know. So we need to understand that because I said so is authority that is given. And we need to understand that when we hear that, that is a person speaking in a tone that says everything is under control. Okay? So here's the thing. Three times Jesus says, take no thought for your life. Now, you may have it translated different, do not be anxious in your version, but it's all the same. Take no thought for your life. Do not be anxious. But he doesn't stop there. Jesus is interested in more than handing down command. He wants to get at our hearts. Okay? He's trying to get at our hearts. And so he gives reasons why we should not take no thoughts or be anxious. When God says do not be anxious, he's saying only one thing in the universe, the only one person in the universe who's all-knowing, that's him. This is why he's saying, take no thought. I got this under control. I know about this. All-knowing, all-powerful, all-God, absolutely unchanging and infinite power, he knew about this coronavirus. Amen? He knew before we even could pronounce it. Amen? He knew before.
let me say, he knew this way before that we were going to be dealing with this situation. The nature of our great God, okay? We need to understand that he is in control. Amen? He's in control. So we need to get our priorities straight. Does it really matter that you have the good things in life? In verse 25, the fancy food, the fancy drinks, the fancy clothes. Are you living your whole life for a little tag on the back of your clothes, on the inside of your shirt that makes you feel cool? Is that the reason why you live in this life? You know, let me say this. My children were secondhand stuff. And here's my point in bringing this up. They don't know nothing about that other stuff. That stuff is taught to them by the parents. My children couldn't tell you what Jordans are. They ain't never had them. But these parents got these babies in Jordans and stuff, paying all of this money for these Jordans that their foot is still growing and gonna be out of it in a few minutes. And then now you done spent all this money on a pair of Jordans. Most of the stuff my children get, there's given to us by other people. They're hand-me-downs. And they're just as good as what you buy in the stores. Thanks be to God, we got people around us that send things our way. Amen? It is a blessing to have that. So God is saying, is your clothes that important that you have to send these kids to school with these designer jeans and designer this and designer that? Is that what they going to school for? Is a fashion show? That's why they make everybody look alike now. So that won't be the importance of the day. So Jesus bring up three things specifically not to worry about, and those things are what we eat, what we drink, and the clothes that we wear. He uses these as representatives of all the things we tend to worry about. We tend to worry about all these things. People ain't even at work good. What are we going to have? What are we going to eat for lunch? What are we going to do for lunch? Am I talking to anybody in here? You ain't even at work. Like, what are we going to do? We're going to all go out to Ballpark Village. What are we going to do? We're already thinking, worrying about what we're going to have for lunch. Amen? So these things are always in our minds. You don't think Jesus knew that? He knew it. That's why he got a chapter on this. But think for a moment about the worries, that what worries you the most. We would never say these things. We worry about more things that we really give credit to. We'll never say, I don't worry. Yes, you do. If you walking and breathing and living, you worrying about something. Sometimes our minds are stuck on certain things that are concerning us. Jesus is saying, if God provided you with life and body, can he not provide you with food, shelter, clothes? Can he not do that for you? God provides far more important things like life for the body, that God can be trusted to provide food. Who was breathing for you last night? Were you on the machine? Amen. Were you on the machine? No. Who was breathing for you? If God can do that, can he not provide for you? We live in an age where people worry about whether they will get anything to eat. Some people worry about what type of life the chicken had before it died. Let's just be real. I mean, we worry about this stuff. You know, and I'm sitting there, and I'm only bringing this up because, you know, my wife showed me this documentary on the animals that, you know, they slaughter And looking at that, you're like, ugh. You know, but my point is, you got people that worry about that stuff. And my point is that, you know, we have a tendency to be concerned about everything. Now, let's remember that life is more than food and the body is more than clothing. Okay? So here's the thing. Here are two important things in chapter 20, in verse 26. We not only insult God when we worry about food and clothes and money, we insult ourselves. Worry says to the world, I'm not valuable. Let the birds and the squirrels be your preacher. Y'all think I'm playing with you? When that bird looks at you, when that bird looks at you outside and you in that warmth, you feeling good, that bird's outside looking at you, you know what that bird is saying to you? Trust God. Y'all think I'm playing with you? See, you got shelter. You are in the warmth and you chilling. That bird is outside trusting in God to provide for him in this time. That's what that bird is doing. So when they look at you, they ain't looking like, okay, what this person gonna do to me? What's up? No, they're saying, trust God. When you hear them singing songs, they're praising God and thanking him for another day that they made it. That's what they're doing. So we need to look and rejoice and thank God for what he's doing for us. God is feeding them. When was the last time you fed a bird? You want them off your yard. You don't want them around your car. Dirt and I have one of those, the blueberry trees or whatever, because, man, y'all know what they'll do to a car. Trust God. When you hear birds singing a song, they're reminding you of the provision that God is doing for them. Amen. God takes care of the little animals, knowing God would take care of you. Amen. In verse 27, it doesn't do any good. And it says, which of you, by taking thought of being anxious, or can add a single span or cubit to his life? He's not actually asking a question. Kind of rhetorical. Jesus is making a point. How does worrying about anything make anything better? It's basically what he's saying. Have you ever looked back on the hard times in your life and thought, I don't know how I would have made it if I hadn't worried? Have y'all ever looked back on your life and said that? Have you ever looked back and said, man, worry sure pulled me through? I mean, think about it for a moment. I'm just being real with y'all. I'm trying to show you what worry. Have you ever said, man, I wish I had a worry some more? Because I sure enough made it because of worry. Worry ain't do nothing for you. Amen. But that's what I'm trying to get you to understand. Does that, now y'all know we laughing at this, but does it make sense? Worry pulled me through this situation. I don't have no choice but to worry. If we all took a few seconds right now and worried about making car payments or paying off the mortgage or anything like that, I don't think doctors ever stood by the bedside and said, well, all we got to do now is worry. I mean, that's about it. I mean, this coronavirus is taking its toll, so all we got to do is just worry. What else can we do? You got any solutions? There's no vaccine right now. So all we got to do is worry. No, there's no doctor that's saying that. All our days, listen to this, all of our days have been written in God's book. Amen? Just because you're young don't mean you're going to outlive somebody that's 80. Amen? You can still die. It doesn't. Your days are numbered in God's book. We all going to check out here when God sees fit. Now, the coronavirus may not take you out. Something else may. But what I'm saying is, we all have a set date and time that we're going to check out of here. And worrying about it ain't going to add no days to your life. Amen? In verse 28 and 30, God cares about you. God makes the wildflowers grow. Why? Because he wants to. Because he created. Because he likes beauty. Because he wants people to enjoy them. Because he cares about flowers. Because he cares about the grass. The grass, we do all this preparation for our grass and spending this money and trying to make it look green and make it look good. Want the lions in the yard. And then all of a sudden it dies. You know why it's dying? Because God spoke it. And you know why it comes back? Because God spoke it. I don't care how much fertilizer we put on that yard, how much lime we put on that yard. Whatever we do, it ain't gonna happen unless God says it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So my point is, what I'm trying to get at is that, you know, God cares about us. If he cares about those little things, he's saying that I care about you that much more. Our worrying is an insult to God. When we worry, we are not believing the truth about God. When we worry, we are telling God, I don't trust you to run my life. I don't think you're really in control. I'd rather worry about the things that I need to do everything to take care of myself. Because I'm not sure you will. But think about it. God takes care of the wild animals. He takes care of the wild flowers. He even takes care of the grass. Why wouldn't he take care of you? He's doing all of this. Why wouldn't he take care of you? You know, pagans worry about a lot of things. Some of us worry so much, we may as well be atheists. We are living like God doesn't really exist. I can understand why an atheist is worried, but why is a Christian worried? Now, I tell people a lot of times, my explaining is not a complaining. I'm just explaining. But don't take my explaining as a complaining. I'm just having a conversation with you. So let's not get it twisted. So don't come at me and say, oh, you a Christian, why are you worrying? I didn't say I was worrying. I said I'm explaining. People get that mixed up with worrying. I'm not worrying. I'm just talking about a situation. So we need to understand that if we're going to worry about a lot of things that we have no control over, we ain't no different than atheists. We ought to know better. You understand what I'm saying? We ought to know better. Here's the thing. Let me give you this. If I buy a gift for my children in my household, okay? Now, they have a gift. Now, watch this. You understand that part. Now, if I buy a gift for the neighbor, my children shouldn't complain. They're in the household with me. Don't they know that I'm going to take care of them? If I can provide and take care of this person over here, surely I can take care of what's in my household. That's why the Bible says it rains on the just as well as the unjust. You understand what I'm saying? See, even those unjust people are being blessed because of the saints. See, a pagan doesn't have to be somebody who worships idols. A pagan is somebody who thinks life is about what you will eat and what you will drink and what you will wear. Pagan thinks that life consists of the abundance of possessions. They spend their money, they hoard their money, like there is no God in the universe. What if God doesn't take care of me? What about Christians starving to death? What about Christians being driven from their homes? What about thousands of good Christians who will die this year from from whatever there may be. Doesn't God promise to take care of them too? Those are fair questions that wouldn't surprise Jesus. Okay? Revelation speaks of a set number of people. Paul told the Romans that even in hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, and slaughter, they would be more than what? Conquerors. We're more than conquerors. When we get done, as I said to you all a few Sundays ago, if I have $5 and I gave that to somebody, if you get upset, I don't understand what's your reason of getting upset. It's my money. I can give it to whomever I want to give it to. You have nothing to say about that. So it is with God. God is the creator of life. He's in control. He can do whatever he want to do. We can't question that. That's God. You just like you questioning me who I gave my money to ain't none of your business. I mean, think about that for a moment. Is it really your business who I gave my money to? Is it really your business how God conducts things and how God do things? What he allows and what he does not allow? Is it really our business? This is God's business. So this is one thing that I listen to people. They always like to ask the questions. But they don't never want to hear the answers. But they are so quick. Well, what if it wasn't that person's time to go? Trust me, if that person is with this person, it's their time to go. Because people always want to say, well, what if it wasn't that person's time to go? What if it is? Do we know this? How do we know this? Only God knows these things. Why do we try to play God so much? I don't understand that. So first of all, we need to remember the context. Jesus is talking about people also serving mammon instead of God. People worship money. They're all about money. You know, you can tell those who are all about money. But we need to understand that God is in control. Your heavenly Father is aware of everything. God knows what we need to keep on living so long as he wants us to live. God knows that we need clothes, food, and drink, and he knows we need all this. And let me say this to you. You know, who cares about, you know, when you go to these fancy restaurants, you know, who cares? You know, people be bragging about these restaurants they go to. My wife and I went to this restaurant. It was nice and everything, expensive, but the food tastes nasty. We looked at each other and said, we could have been better off at Applebee's someplace. But that food was nasty. And I sat there and I was like, I said, I ain't coming back here no more. I mean, it was terrible. But the place was fancy and all that type of stuff. And like, oh man, I went there. I won't tell nobody I went there. Because I just wasted some money. I'm like this, we went there. You don't want to tell them because it was terrible. We need to understand this. God knows everything. He's in control of everything. God is not stupid. He sees us. He knows all. He knows where you are. He hasn't gone out for lunch, people. Amen? That this one coworker, people were looking for, and they was like, Ronnie, you seen so-and-so? I said, well, last time I seen her, she was at a desk. I don't know where she's at now. She took a long lunch break. And they was like, well, so-and-so looking for her. Okay, well, she'll be back whenever she comes back. My point, and she's no longer there either. But my point is, God is not taking a break, y'all. He's not like a parent that loses their child. Anybody lost a child in the store before? Ain't nobody speaking up for that. That's because it's being recorded. God is here for you. He's not against you. Jesus doesn't promise all your wildest dreams will come true. Because some of your dreams you ain't going to even want. Amen? God will take care of you. Us worrying is not going to do anything. It's not going to make the situation better. Now, here's what we need to understand. Everybody that's living here, this is not to be negative, this is to be real. Everybody in here is going to die at some time. I mean, as we can see, the older you get, the more you can see the change in your body. Your body is not the same as it used to be when you were 10. Amen? It's changing. Things hurting that you hear, I'm like, what did I do? I ain't doing nothing yet. I mean, leg hurting. I'm like, oh. You know, sometimes I don't be wanting to tell my wife stuff, but I'll be like, oh. I'm like, man, that hurt. That pulled a Charlie horse right there. It just tells you that your body is changing. I never heard of that when I was young growing up. You know, when we got ready to play ball, we just wanted to say, hey, what time we got to be there? Come on, let's go. But now that you say, hey, man, you going to play ball? I'm like, yeah, let me warm up a little bit. Let me stretch. My neighbor wanted me to race his son. And I was like, yeah, I want to get him too. I want to race him. I want to race him bad. But then I thought about it. I said, you know, my son Jeremiah looks up to me right now. I said, no. Because Jeremiah will pump you up. Come on, Dad, you can do it. You can do it. And you be sitting there like, yeah. And then all of a sudden you lose. Then Jeremiah will be like, oh, Dad, come on, man. I didn't want to disappoint him because the guy was fast. He's in his prime, but I'm like, man, I was just saying to myself, Lord, just let me go back to when I was in my 20s. I said, I tear him up. I said, but these wheels need a little oil on it. I was telling my neighbor, I said, man, I ain't never backed down from a challenge like that. I said, man, you don't know what you did to me. So I'm down there. I wanted to play my Rocky song down in the basement trying to warm up. I still want to race him, but I don't want Jeremiah to be around, though. Because, I mean, I don't want my son to see Daddy lose. But I think I can take this guy. I really do. I want to race him bad, too. I can't. That's the competitive side of me. I can't, man. I want to get with that young blood. I want to get with him, y'all. I know. My mind is telling me, hey, you can do it. Your body is saying, you better not. Because, you know, when you ain't ran in a while, your feet get on the, you end up falling on the ground. when you ain't ran in a while, your feet like, hey, man, what you doing? We ain't did this in a long time. You didn't tell me you gonna run. I'm used to walking. Last time we ran was a long time ago. Worrying is for non-Christians. That ain't for us, y'all. That's not for us. God is not telling us to worry. He's telling us to put our trust in him. And when you've done all you can do, just continue to trust God. That's about all you can do. I mean, when they say stand, you know, just keep standing. You have to put your trust in God, period. You know, sometimes, you know, some people like explanation of things. Sometimes there is no explanation. You just got to say, I'm just going to continue to stand. I mean, that's all I'm going to do. I mean, there's nothing else. I'm not going to, Charles Stanley said, well, what you going to do? He said, I'm going to stand. And they kept trying to question Charles Stanley. He said, I'm just going to stand. I'm just going to trust him. He wasn't backing down. He said, I'm not going to explain this to you. I'm just going to trust God. And to me, here's the thing. You know, some people don't believe that there is a hell. They don't believe that God will put you there. Here's what I'm going to say to you. I'm not going to try him. Amen? And you go there and you can't check out. Amen? I heard that it's permanent. And it's as long as God will live. And last time I checked, he's forever. Amen. So I'm not going to say I don't believe that hell is real. Then all of a sudden you die. You there. There is no getting out. So, and here's the thing. Will it hurt you to do well to others? Will it hurt you to come and worship the Lord? Will it hurt you? Amen? scary. Honestly, it makes sense for someone who doesn't know Jesus. If you don't know the Lord, I can understand why you're worried. But if you know the Lord, you shouldn't be worried. Sometimes we talk like believers, but then we worry like non-believers. We say we believe this great God we call Lord and Savior, but then we act like as if our lives are in the hands of someone else. We act as if God is not in control. The greatest thing I can encourage you to do is put your trust in God. Leave the worry to those that don't know the Lord. But you that know him, put your trust in him. Jesus wants to set the worry free. You know, we can have the nice cars, the nice boats, and all those things, you know, but that's not what we're here for. We're here to worship and live our life according to the way God wants us to live it. Jesus is not going to make life easy for us. Just because you become saved doesn't mean that everything's going to be smooth sailing. You know, I mean, when I became saved, nothing was smooth sailing. You know, and I always say this, when you're in a leadership position, for those of you who have never experienced a leadership position, if God ever allows you the opportunity to be in a leadership position, I promise you, you're going to want to get out. Because you ain't going to know what persecution is until you actually be in it. I like to do role reversal sometimes because, you know, when you are in it, it's tough. But when you're on the outside, this is why I support those leaders who are really leading the right way. Now, if you're not a good leader, then that's on you. But my point is, those that are really showing great leadership, I support them because I understand what it is to be in that position. It is tough. You got everybody. You're going to have false accusations against you. I had that against me. And then the sad part about it is that when that person was let go who was stirring the pot, and everybody who was against me told me that the person told them to do this to me. Isn't that something? Told them to give me a hard time. And I was like, man, wow, for you to come and say that to me, let's let you know you're going to be tested. Even when you don't believe that you're going to be tested, you're going to be tested. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will be anxious of itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You got enough trouble in today. You see if they're worrying about tomorrow. The biggest thing that Jesus is getting at here is that our Heavenly Father who is in heaven knows what's going to come. Okay? Already in control. There's things that we don't even know about right now that's getting ready to come. And here's the thing. God already knows about that. It hasn't even come in time. Haven't even made the news yet. Because you know when they get it, they run with it. You turn on your TV, coronavirus, 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 coronavirus. Spreading like wildfire. And if you don't believe, then you will be in a state of panic. Jesus is not saying that we should have the attitude only living for today. He's saying today has enough trouble of its own. Why worry about things that have not yet come yet? And that may not come. Worrying is not going to make things better. It's not. It's not going to make things better at all. Today's grace is for today's trials. Amen? And when tomorrow's trials come, God will give new grace for that situation. Brand new. Amen? Yesterday's grace was for that. Today's grace is new to deal with this situation. You know how you get some of that new stuff? It's like, this is new. It lets you know that it's new before that new. You understand that? That's the best way I can say it. It's new, new. Then if another product come out, it'd be like new, new, new. There you go. Spank brand new. But today's grace is for today's trials, people. We may worry about things, but we have a lot to be thankful to God about. You know, we don't think about that. We have a lot to be thankful to God about. We are the most valuable of God's creatures. We are the most valuable. God takes very special pride in us. We letting the birds outsing us. We letting the birds outdo us, the animals, y'all, that don't have a refrigerator. Amen. They don't have a storage shed. We let these animals outdo us. What do? You see them singing and chirping and doing all kind of stuff. You know, I don't think that them birds say, well, I'm finna make Ronnie mad. I'm finna go put this nest right here. No. But we have to understand these animals are living the way we should be living. Amen. They sure ain't worrying about no mortgage payment. But we need to understand this. We are the most valuable creatures and that we face in this world. We can trust God. And we should be able to say, blessed be your name, Lord. You know, when Job expressed his pain to God, Job got up and he tore his clothes, shaved his head. Then he fell on the ground and he worshiped. See, in the ancient Middle East, this is what people did when they wanted to express frustration and anger. God never designed, listen to this, y'all. God never designed us to deal with negative emotions. If you are constantly negative towards somebody and you don't say anything positive, think about this. God did not design us to continuously take on negative, 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 negative. When God designed Eve for Adam, what did he say? I'm going to give you a helper. God didn't say, I'm going to give you a negative person. God didn't say, I'm going to give you somebody that's going to work against you. God said, I'm going to give you somebody that's going to be a helper. In other words, God is saying, we need to work with each other. Amen? This is what God is saying. So when Job got into a situation, you know, Job basically expressed himself to God and showed his anger to God. He let God know how he feel, but he didn't sin. And all that he did, he had a conversation with God, but he didn't sin. So any pain we have is short compared to eternity. So everything that we're dealing with right now is short compared to eternity. See, I don't know what worries you today. I don't know if it's your kids, if it's your grandkids, family members' health, your future with your career and your job, or maybe it's the coronavirus that you don't know whether it will go away. Whatever it is that's worrying you, you can know that God is aware. In fact, he's more than aware. He's active caring for you in the midst of these worries. So he's actively working right now in the midst of all of our worries. So everything that we're concerned about, God is in the midst of working. You know, another thing that is also spreading is sin. Sin is spreading more rapidly than the coronavirus is. It is polluting and defaming, doing everything in this universe. Sin is violating the laws of God and rebelling against God's authority. So here's the thing, when Naaman sinned, when Naaman had leprosy, Naaman had to admit that he had leprosy. Amen? If a person want to be cured from the coronavirus, they have to admit that they have the symptoms in order to be helped. Amen? If they don't admit that they have these symptoms, that describes the coronavirus, there is nothing that the people in the healthcare field can do for this individual. So in order for you to get some help in what you're going through in life, you have to admit, God, I've sinned. That's what Naaman had to do when he was found out that he had leprosy. He had to admit that he had sinned. He did not say he had a toothache and he needed a dentist to extract the tooth. He did not say he had a headache and needed some sort of relief. He didn't say he had a temperature and all he needed was a ice pack. No, he didn't. He admitted that he had leprosy, the disease that runs rampant through the body. You have to admit that you are a sinner. And then you come into repentance. We have this sin that's running rampant in this world today, and people are not admitting that they have sin in their lives. Most people don't even know what sin is because they're so used to doing whatever they want to do. But thanks be to God, Naaman's family even said, yes, he has leprosy. His soldiers said, yes, he has leprosy. Everybody around him admitted what he had. In order for you to get cured, you have to admit what you are. If you are a thief, say you're a thief and get some help. If you're an alcoholic, say you're an alcoholic so you can get some help. This is how you get help. If you want to get free from whatever it is that is ailing you, you have to admit that you have this. You need deliverance. Naaman need deliverance. You must admit that you are a sinner, lost and doomed. Because without Christ as your personal Savior, you lost. I would like to say that, you know, there's still hope for you as long as you're living and breathing. You still have a chance while the blood is running warm in your veins. You still have a chance. But I say this to you today. Let us not allow the coronavirus to be ahead of God. It's going to run this course. And we have to know that just like the swine flu ran its course, SARS ran its course, H1N1, whatever that was, that ran its course, this is going to run its course. Everything runs its course until God says, okay, that's enough. And we have to trust God to know that that is exactly what he's going to do. Say, all right, I'm putting a stop to this. This is a time for us to understand who's in control. Who is in the, who has the power? It ain't man. It ain't the healthcare profession. They ain't never seen nothing like this. But if they called on the Lord, he's seen it before. He's already aware of it. They're like this. They're trying to understand, okay, what do I do? So they got the head, they're covered from head to toe because they don't understand this virus that well yet. But the Lord understands it. See, to God, a disease is a disease. Sin is sin, regardless of how you look at it. And let me say this, regardless of how you name it. Amen? Put your trust in God. Don't worry. Who can worry and add a day to their life? Anybody can do that? No. So why worry? They say if you're going to pray, don't worry. And if you're going to worry, don't pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to open up the doors of the church. We're opening up the doors of the church. And even though we see that everyone here is a member, we're just opening up the doors of the church. Amen. Let us all stand. joined to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Let the church say, amen.